Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Here it is February, and here's a question for you. How many New Year's resolutions have you already broken? If you're like me, you may have resolved time and time again to break a bad habit, lose weight, become more assertive on the job, spend more quality time with your family, exercise more, but the change never occurs. And today we're going to talk about why so many of us so often break our New Year's resolutions, no matter how hard we try and how sincere we may be. And breaking resolutions so often further damages our self-esteem. I'm so weak I can't even keep promises I make to myself. I can hear myself saying that. And my guest today, Tom Gagliano, is an expert on New Year's resolutions, heck, resolutions any time of year, how to follow up so that our resolutions aren't simply wishful thinking, and the fears and misgivings that paralyze positive action, and how we can work through them to accomplish our goals long term, and how to overcome self-imposed limitations that may have been implanted in our consciousness when we were small children. And regular listeners may recall Tom from our November 30th program when he talked to us as parents on how not to pass on personal bad habits and limitations to our offspring. And remember, you can go back and listen to the November 30th broadcast at any time because past programs are archived on our website. But today he's going to talk to us as individuals of middle age who want to break the cycle of broken resolutions, self-defeating angst, and self-limiting or self-destructive behaviors. And to refresh your memory, here's Tom Gagliano's biography. As a young man, Tom was a successful entrepreneur with a proven track record in the greater New York City area. 10 years ago, he started to spend less time in the business world and more time helping others who suffer as adults from negative childhood messages. He returned to school and received his master's degree in social work at age 51. How about that for inspiration, you boomers? And he's now a successful author, life coach, and keynote speaker, and he's co-authored with Abraham Tversky of the best-selling 2011 book, The Problem Was Me, How to End Negative Self-Talk and Take Your Life to a New Level. And boy, that's a subject that certainly fits home for me and a lot of us at middle age, and that's what we're going to concentrate on today. Hello, Tom. Happy New Year, and welcome back to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Thank you very much. A pleasure to be back.
Well, let's get right to the heart of the matter. Why is it so many of us are unable to follow through on sincere resolutions to abandon behaviors that we know are self-destructive or to change the stuck and neutral outlook that is limiting our success and hinders relationships and makes us truly unhappy? We know we want to change. Why do we have so much problem actually making changes?
Well, you know, I believe, you know, I'm 57, and I believe no matter what age you are, your childhood messages, when your core beliefs were formed early on, when those brain cells were at their height and you took in everything, those you ingrained messages that you've carried your whole life. And it's affected your whole life, whether it's the intimacy you have or don't have, your parenting skills, the careers you choose, everything is affected by those messages. You know, even as I always talk about, Roy, those people pleasers out there where they say yes all the time because it's too painful to say no. Even that voice comes from childhood. So when I have clients, one of the things I always do is we look under those unswept corners of our lives. Let's get those childhood messages out in the open. Let's talk about them and see how it's showing up in your life, whether you're 80 years old, 50, or 30.
Yeah, if you don't understand what's causing you to think the way you do and what may be holding you back, you're not really going to be able to address it, can you?
Yeah, without awareness, you don't know what actions to take. And, you know, a lot of us look at ourselves and say, I'm procrastinator, and we think that's because we're lazy. And it's not because we're lazy. Laziness may be the symptom, but underneath the laziness is a fear of failure. Like, I'm not going to get this done. I'm not good enough to achieve this goal. And we sabotage it. And we sabotage it by procrastination, by quitting. And it could look like we're lazy, but really it's not lazy. It's those messaging going on deep inside of us telling us that we're not good enough. We're not going to make it. We sabotage it. So that's really what's going on. And in my book, The Problem With Me, I talk about the warden, that little voice inside our head, constantly telling us what we're doing wrong, not allowing us to celebrate our victories. And that little voice, if it's not brought to the light and exposed for the myth that it is, it will control our lives and our success as we set goals in our life.
Yeah, I got a kick out of how you describe the warden as an imaginary person with a bat that sits on your shoulder. And whenever someone or something made you feel defective or inadequate, the warden came out swinging, and he instilled a peculiar definition of intimacy. You said that intimacy means pain and should be avoided.
Well,
he's
absolutely
trying to protect you from getting too close to anyone. I know that sounds so much like my warden.
Yeah, well, look, you know, if you grew up in a childhood where you didn't see mom and dad having resolution to conflict, if you didn't see them getting along or helping each other, supporting each other, if you had a mom or a dad that was shutting down and another one that was getting angry and raging or running out the door, and if you didn't see resolution to conflict, what's going to happen as you grow older? You may read in the dictionary that intimacy means closeness and warmth. But the reality is, when intimacy comes, you're not going to trust it. You're not going to believe it. You can have resolution, that it could be, you know, that you can have happiness as people get closer to you. And that's what I talk about. That warden, whenever anybody got too close to me, you know, my fear before I did fix that brokenness inside was that they were going to see who I really was inside. I was a fragmented person, Roy, and I would not let people close. And that's how my warden developed.
Yeah. No, it's there's so many ways that kind of message can be ingrained. And so often my parents were very loving and wanted only the best for me, but they, looking back, they put a bunch of limitations in my mind that I didn't need to have simply because they were going to try to protect me from failure. You know, they didn't want me to do something they didn't think I would accomplish enough.
Well, but that's a strong message. It really is, because, you know, if we have a fear within ourselves that this world is a scary world out there, that we're not going to succeed, that we're not going to be successful, we could put that in our child's diaper. We could turn around and create a fear in them that's going to tell them subconsciously that they're not going to succeed, that they're going to be a failure, that this world is just too damn tough. You know, we don't mean to do it. This is what I talk about in my second book, Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper. We don't mean to do that. Look, we want the best for our children.
Yeah.
But we're not aware sometimes in how we're showing up with them or what are even the nonverbal messages we're giving them. And and again, it flows right into New Year's resolution and other goals. You know, if we believe that we can do it, if we believe deep down that we can succeed versus believing that, you know, we're not good enough and we're going to sabotage you or the task is so great, you know, that plays such a big part in moving forward.
Yeah, and if there was one great, awe-inspiring resolution that every one of us could make to accomplish the life of our dreams, what would it be? I know you had a great idea for that resolution.
Well, I think the key is when we make a resolution, it's not just the resolution that's important. It's the accomplishment of the resolution. That's how we build integrity and self-esteem. When we do things that we doubted we could do, when we find out that, you know what, I am able to do this, that's what builds integrity and self-esteem.
That's exactly right.
Yeah,
no, in your book or somewhere I saw this resolution that I thought was great. This all-inspiring, I will no longer let my fears paralyze me. And
accomplish
that resolution, so many other successful resolutions would follow from that, I think.
Yeah, and we have to look at our fears. You know, Roy, we have to say, are our fears real or are they imagined? And I always use the example of crossing the street. You know, all of us need healthy fears. Look, we can't run across the street without looking.
No.
That's not healthy. We need healthy fears. Many of us, though, have many imagined fears which stop us from ever crossing the street. And what happens is we become paralyzed because it's like, I can't do this. It's just too overwhelming. But is it really overwhelming, or am I imagining it's overwhelming?
Yeah, you imagine it's overwhelming before you even try it.
100%. I had a client. I'll never forget a client that was a computer genius. This guy was brilliant. He was in his 40s, and he was making $11 an hour.
Oh, wow.
Why was he making $11 an hour? Because he believed he wasn't good enough to do better. His father's voices came right to his boss, who reiterated that he just wasn't that good of a computer person when he was brilliant, and he heard his father's voice through his boss. He time traveled, and he believed what his boss was telling him because his father set that up early on, that he was going to be a failure. Now, when this client came to me, we started with little goals. You talk about resolutions. First, we started with, okay, let's look at the newspaper. Let's see what jobs are out there. Then let's send out resumes. Then let's go on interviews. And you know, the reality was he was fighting me the whole way.
Yeah.
I was his lawyer. I was telling him you could do it. He's telling me I can't do it. But through small steps, through accountability to me.
The job down to preparing the resume or all these various steps to accomplish resume.
Yeah, yeah. And to make
Divining
a long story.
Is one big chunk of responsibility interactions.
To make a long story short, at the end of the trip, this guy started his own business and he's making a ton of money today. But again, his voices, his childhood messages, his time traveling was getting in the way constantly. They weren't real. They were imagined.
Yeah.
But in his mind, he made them real.
Yeah.
And that's the other step, is that if you really want to get across the street, you need to be accountable to other people. I believe, Roy, that we can do for each other what we can't do for ourselves. So if you could put other people on that resolution plan and tell other people, listen, here's my New Year's resolution. I'm going to go to the gym every morning, but I got to be accountable to you.
Yeah.
So I'm going to text you or call you every morning just for a while just to say I'm on my way. And then I'll text you at the end at 12 o'clock to say I did it. You'd be amazed when you're accountable to other people how much stronger you can do when you set your goals.
Yeah, that has so much to do with that maintenance phase, which we'll get into a little later, the three phases that you talk about in solving the problem. But it's so important that you remain accountable. But in your book, The Problem Was Me, you describe 8 common suboptimal roles we play in our adult lives that were created by messages we probably received in childhood. We may not have time to talk about all of them, but can you give a couple of the examples? I know there's the caretaker and the victim and
Let me take just a minute to explain where they come from. You know, as children, all of us look at mom and dad, and we take a peek and see, are they nurturing each other emotionally, spiritually, physically? And when that's happening, a child can just be a child. But what happens if there's a problem at the top, the child starts to play these roles, self-survival roles, to make that work. That's where you fall into the people-pleaser role, where you just can't say no to others because you couldn't say no to mom and dad. You felt you were a bad kid.
That's a sorry thing when you do agree to do activities or undertake things you don't want to be doing just simply because you can't stand to say no and have anyone upset with you or
mad
at you.
Exactly. Yeah, and you could fall into the caretaking role where, you know, the codependency role, where you take care of other people before you take care of yourself, and that's never good. You're going to end up paying the bill for that.
Yeah.
Some people become defiant. They play that defiant role, you know, where they were so controlled as kids.
Yeah.
I see this a lot with my very religious clients, where they were so controlled by religion that they become so defiant that if you tell them to go left, they want to go right. They want to do the opposite of everything that is told for them as far as rules go when they get older, because they just don't like rules. They don't like regulations.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, you know, we have people that play the victim role. That's usually addicts play the victim role, where they want to blame everybody.
That's a great excuse for not changing your behavior, addressing the problem. It's all somebody else's fault. And I can't
always somebody else's
victim.
Right. And usually, many times, the caretaker marries the victim, the guy or woman that plays the victim role. The caretaker is taking way too much responsibility for the other person, and the victim is not taking any responsibility.
That's not a great future to look forward to either.
No, but you know what? As bad as it is, sometimes it fits like a glove.
Yeah.
But when somebody starts to heal and grow and gets better, the glove doesn't fit anymore. And all of a sudden, that's when you really start to have problems.
Yeah, that's, I see what you're saying. Well, here's the million-dollar question. If you would like once and for all to shut the mouth of your inner critic and to take your power back and become the person you really want to be, how do you accomplish this? How do we launch a recovery so that we don't just sit around and play one of these eight roles of that we assumed from our childhood and break through and get rid of that warden and start moving forward? How do we go about doing that? Starting to address the problem.
There's three keys, as you mentioned earlier. There's awareness, action, and maintenance.
Okay,
I need to be aware of my role and my messaging
in
childhood. Am I happy in my own life? Am I comfortable in my own skin? And if I'm not, I need to start to change that role. So I need to be aware first.
Yeah,
then
we need to be aware of why we're not unhappy.
Exactly.
As well as,
you know, why do I do this?
Unhappy.
Let's connect the dots. How does A go to B to C? How did my messages in childhood create the person I am today? So I have to build awareness. When we have awareness, and this is what I do in all the groups I facilitate, we do this. We awareness, action, and maintenance. When we have awareness, then we have a better shot to understand the actions we have to take. Now, when you get into actions, you make it a we process then. It's not a me process anymore. Now I need to solicit the help of other supportive people, not people that are going to put me down or tell me I'm not good enough. I mean those that know I'm trying to change my role, and they're going to be there to support me. They could be family, friends, therapist, coach, whoever that is.
Yeah.
And I need to make it then a we process when I get into the action piece. And then the third piece to really change who you are is I need to consistently maintain those actions. If I can consistently maintain those actions, all of a sudden I'm showing up as a different person.
That's where you need the monitoring, someone else to monitor and be responsible to, so that you don't lapse back into prior ways of thinking or let that voice back
that's
in.
The maintenance piece. So if I'm a people pleaser and I say yes when I don't want to at times, I need to make a commitment to those people that I'm safe with and say, next time I'm asked to do something, I will commit to you that I will say, let me think about it, or no, or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I'll come back to you. Again, this is what I do in the groups that I facilitate, and I'll bring it back to the group so I can then get feedback and I can get support in that saying no is okay. You're not a bad person.
Yeah, that's great to have that support. But, well, let's talk a little bit about your book, The Problem Was Me, How to End Negative Self-Talk and Take Your Life to a New Level. The book introduction in it details 18 questions to ask ourselves to determine if we need the book to become unstuck. And I thought that eliminate bad habits or spark midlife transformation. And I really thought that was great. And I know we can't go over all 18, but what are a sample of a few of the questions that we should ask ourselves to determine whether really it's more than just needing the book, but to determine basically whether we really need to transform our lives at middle age.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, not to go over all 18, but I can give you the premise is that first, are you happy in your own skin? I mean, are you happy? If you're not happy, you need to take the responsibility, as I did, and I named it The Problem Was Me, to change. I need to be responsible for that change. You know, do you feel like you're important to those that you care about?
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're respected? You know, all of these questions, getting back to how you feel about yourself, do you want to change that? Are and those fit into the other 18 questions. They're a little more itemized. But basically, that's the key to asking yourself, how do I feel about myself?
Just as an example, I like the question, do I feel victimized by people or circumstances in my life, which, is, as we talked about, is a great excuse for not changing, doing it, and doing nothing. And when I make a mistake, does shame overwhelm me? That was the one I always have to deal with. And do I always have to be right even when I push others away? And do I give my power away to others by letting them determine how I feel about myself? I thought those were all great questions.
Yeah, you know,
and,
some of us grew up with the message, when we made mistakes, we became a mistake. We identified ourselves as a mistake. The message that I constantly reiterate in my book, the second book, Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper, is, you know, making mistakes is part of being human. We all do. Now, is mistakes, what message did I get, and what message do I give my children when they make a mistake? Is the message, we're human, we all do, it's okay, we need to learn from our mistakes, or do we internalize ourselves as a mistake? There's a huge difference between those two messages.
That's so right. We have to be willing when we make mistakes and not to, you know, like some people will never admit a mistake and get angry and defend themselves. And there's nothing wrong with admitting a mistake as long as we still maintain confidence in our own worth and not, like you say, that we are the mistake.
Well, because, again, Roy, you know, if you got a warden in you, if you grew up with a very disciplined in childhood that when you made a mistake, you felt like you were so defective, why would you want to admit to mistakes as you grow older? You're going to fight that because, again, the pain of making a mistake is so great. Coming from childhood, you know, again, I have clients that are very sensitive to criticism. Why are they sensitive to criticism? Well, because as children, they were criticized so severely that it's so painful. Versus a child that grows up with the understanding, you know, look, we all make mistakes. It's okay. What did you learn? How can I help you with create this as an opportunity to grow versus that you are a mistake? All of these messages early on will impact the way you feel about yourself later on when you do make mistakes.
Yeah, that's why both of your books are so important, because we certainly don't want to put crap in our kid's diaper.
Right.
And as you pointed out on the other show, that's not just babies with diapers. It's our teenagers, our preteens, and everyone else that, you know, still at home and is under our roof. We've got to make sure that we don't pass on our misery to the next generation. That's well, where's the best place to go to preview and purchase your book, The Problem Was Me?
Well, you can go to my website. It's theproblemwasme.com. And on my website, I have all the products. I have videos. I have TV stuff on there that I've been on. And you can have some fun on there. And you can order my book on my website, theproblemwasme.com. You can also go to amazon.com. And, you know, you can get my book in ebook and hard copy, both books, The Problem Was Me, as well as Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper. The cleanup course could last a lifetime.
You also offer individual, small group, and digital coaching, I understand, and you're and also a public speaker and have inspirational talks you can give on a variety of subjects. Where should we go for that? The same website?
Yeah, go to my website, and you could leave me a message, which I will return it as soon as I can, a day or two, no later. And I will respond to any messages that you give me. Yes, thank you for mentioning that. I am really expanding as a speaker. I've been speaking West Coast, East Coast, all over the place lately.
Wow.
It's really moving forward for me. And, you know, when I do speak about a lot of things, from addiction to bullying to intimacy with couples, to many, many different hats.
I know you mentioned before we started the program, you're talking about how to deal with terrorism in your children. That's certainly a timely subject for now.
Sure. You know, do we really know how our kids are feeling about this? You know, we're assuming we know, but as I always say to parents, you know, when you look back on your childhood, you're looking back with transitions, experiences, maturity. Do you really remember what it was like to be 8? You know, that's a whole different ball game. Do we know how our kids are really feeling about what's going on in this world with terrorism? And I tell parents all the time, you need to create a safe place. Let your children tell you their feelings. Don't tell them that that's silly or they shouldn't feel that way. Let them share their fears, their curiosity with drugs, their curiosity with terrorism, whatever it is, allow them to say what they want to say, even if you don't agree with them. You know, you're the decision maker, you're the rule maker, but if a child doesn't have a safe place to share their struggles with, they're going to solicit that information from the wrong people, and none of us want that.
Yeah, maybe it just seems that way, but it seems like when you and I were growing up, it was a much simpler and calmer world.
Yeah,
we didn't
that's
have
for sure.
all the internet and this constant you know, all news stations constantly talking about how the world's falling apart. And
it's scary. It's scary. Think of the minds of little kids listening to this.
Yeah.
Think of the minds of little kids that are being told that people get decapitated or even if they see it on TV. And you know what? If you're a parent, Don't deny it. Don't lie to your kid. If your child heard that people are being decapitated and whatever, I'm not saying let them watch it on TV. Try not to let them see it on TV. But if they see it and it's reality and it's what life, you deny it to them, you're lying to them in essence.
Yeah, that's true. And they'll that'll come back to pay negative dividends in the future if they find out you were lying to them.
You got it. You got it.
Well, Nate, give us the name of that first, your most recent book, because I love the title, and that's also available, I guess, through your website.
Yeah, it's Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper. The cleanup course can last a lifetime. So it's Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper. And quite honestly, Roy, the truth is parenting is the most difficult undertaking I've ever done. So I'm not making light of how hard and difficult it is, but isn't it nice to have a book that you can recognize what areas of your parenting skills are strong and what areas need a little bit of attention?
Yeah, no, I love that title. That's one of the all-time greatest book titles ever. Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper. Well, in conclusion, I just want to say that Tom Gagliano's book, The Problem Was Me, and his comments today have fit perfectly with our overall theme of our program and our challenge to every single one of you. And that is, if you're less than fully satisfied with any aspect of your life, your health, fitness, relationships, career, business, bad habits, self-esteem, they're never going to get better by making endless resolutions that you can't keep without fully understanding how and why that little voice inside, the warden, as Tom calls it, keeps holding you back. What are you afraid of? When, where, and how were those self-limiting notions implanted in your brain, and do they make sense today? Are you able to visualize the wonderful person you can be and all that you can accomplish once you silence that inner critic of doubt and limitation? And once that inner voice is identified and understood, are you prepared to initiate action to make things better? You know, it's great to say it's because of this, but then if you sit around and do nothing about it, it's not going to accomplish very much. And after you act, are you prepared to seek helpful advice and group support to ensure that you maintain a positive attitude and forward momentum? And maybe most important, once you are forward-thinking and renewed, are you prepared to go out and help other people achieve the same joy and satisfaction in their lives that you have found? Because that's really the only way to maintain the positive momentum is to bring others along. And please never forget, you simply must become CEO of you, because no one else is as uniquely qualified for that job. Who else in the world would you propose to control your life for you? But remember, any wise CEO reaches out for help and advice from qualified, supportive, and caring individuals around him or her, and you also will need to do that. And to get started on your very own positive life transformation, I highly recommend you preview and purchase Tom Gagliano's book, The Problem Was Me. Also, take a look at my book, A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, by Roy C. Richards. That's a detailed roadmap to get you from where you are today to the confident, productive, and joyful person that you want to be. And thanks a million, Tom, for returning today, and best of success with your books, coaching, and speaking.
Thank you, Roy. Pleasure.
Well, now let's all go out and overthrow that little inner voice, that warden that's been holding us back, because middle age indeed can be your very best age. Thanks for joining us. We are in the heart of winter, which in the northern U.S., Canada, and much of Europe is the cold and flu season. It's that time of year when our energy, our spirits, and our immune systems may be at their low point. Our kids may be home with a virus, bad cold, or an ear infection, and mom and dad don't feel that great either. But my next guest, Gudrun Penselin, is here to talk about a possible cure for common complaints of winter, in fact, for any season. And we're not talking about prescription drugs. She's here to inform us that there are many herbs and natural medicines right in your kitchen or backyard that you can use to create real healing remedies. And Gudrun Penselin was born and raised in Germany, and like so many children back then, played outside much of the time. Wasn't that fun? We probably grew up like that too. Healthy lifestyle was an integral part of her upbringing, and when she did get sick, her mom's first line of defense was wholesome foods, herbal teas, lots of rest, and fresh air. And after high school, she spent half a year in India, including time with Mother Teresa in Calcutta, helping orphaned infants. I'm so impressed by that. And back in Germany, she completed education with master's degrees in both education and physical education. And she emigrated to Canada, and then as a practitioner and teacher for over 30 years, she's helped thousands to self-healing through various natural methods, including herbal medicine. And she's sole owner of a successful business in northern Alberta called Journey to Health Rainbow Healing. She gives public talks and conducts workshops both in Canada and the U.S., and she's co-authored and offers a comprehensive DVD, Herbal Pharmacy for Everyone, a step-by-step guide to creating your own herbal preparations. And hello, Gudrun, and a hearty welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Hello, and thank you so much for having me on your show. I really appreciate it, and I look forward to sharing some of my passion with everyone.
Well, let's start with the basics. What is herbal medicine, and what are its underlying principles? I think there's two or three principles that make a lot of sense.
Well, herbal medicine is pretty well using natural remedies, or plants, to support our body in its healing process. It could be also used as a preventative measure. Yeah. And one of the major differences to, we call it conventional medicine, let's say medicine with drugs or the medical doctor's practice, is that in herbal medicine we can be symptomatic, but it's sometimes definitely necessary. But the goal is, the focus is to support the body in its own healing process rather than being symptomatic and suppressing certain symptoms.
Yeah,
and we do have to remember that 80% of the world's population still uses traditional medicine as their primary health care. And 70% of all drugs introduced in the U.S. are actually derived from plants.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that. You also point out that an underlying principle, the whole of the plant is greater than the sum of its parts. I like that observation also that you had.
Yeah, it's important because in the pharmaceutical industry, they typically take isolated components, but our plants are created whole in a way that if there is something that could be having a negative side effect in some people, there's often something in the plant itself that will already counteract that effect. So the plants in itself are very balanced, not saying that there aren't plants that could have some deadly effect if we use them wrong or if we use them at all.
Well,
but overall,
medicine,
they are balanced within themselves.
Yeah. Is herbal medicine something new, or has it been around for a while?
Oh, it's ancient. Like I said, it's the most ancient form of healing. Just like then, you know, there was a development in the Western world where the pharmaceutical companies started to take over, and that's a whole different topic.
Yeah.
But herbal medicine is definitely the first line of defense.
Well, is herbal medicine safe? Is there any history of adverse reaction to the ingestion of herbs? Or can you offer any safety precautions that we should think about before we go on a herbal regimen?
I would say that in general, herbal medicine is definitely safe, but we have to be aware of it that we can technically react to anything. A sensitivity reaction or an allergic reaction. But this is the same with medicine or foods or anything. So if someone has a lot of sensitivities and they are not sure, then I like to suggest that they, instead of ingesting the herbs first, I like to suggest that they take the herbs through a foot bath into their body by taking a kind of a dish pan, put hot water in it, and add either an essential oil or herbal tea or tincture, depending, you know, whatever you have available, and put that into the foot bath, and then absorb it through the feet, bypassing the digestive system. And that is
that's
a very good way.
Huh, that's fascinating. Well, presumably, it's highly unlikely that Our family physician, their MD, is going to prescribe herbal medicine as a preferred solution. I know maybe a few of them do, but where should we turn for advice? Are there qualified herbal practitioners in most U.S. and Canadian locations, or is there an internet site that lists practitioners by geographic location? How do we find someone qualified to show us the way on herbs?
I would suggest that people either Google for herbalists, but also maybe nice. Go to some of the schools. For example, there's a School of Natural Healing in Utah, and they train herbalists and make sure that the people who claim to be herbalists, because it's not a regulated profession, everybody yeah. can call themselves a herbalist, that you have someone who has experience and someone who has a credible background. But otherwise, I mean, you take a little bit of a chance, but mostly just be smart, look, see if maybe you know other people who have had success yeah. with the people, and make sure you feel comfortable with that person, because it's also a relationship building between the practitioner and the clientele.
Yeah. Well, what if we currently take one or more prescription drugs? Can herbs interfere with the prescription drugs, or can you take herbs at the same time you take prescription drugs generally?
In general, yes, but there are, of course, certain medications where you have to be more careful. Antidepressants is a category where you may have to check with someone definitely knowledgeable, either a herbal practitioner or medical doctors yeah. often are not very well informed about those
yeah,
things. Then we have to look. I shy away from using most herbs with people who are on blood thinners, because that's such a delicate balance, and people have
yeah.
to be very careful about that.
I see. What illnesses or chronic conditions can effectively be treated with herbs? Are there any known diseases where herbal medicine should be avoided? I guess you just said blood thinners or something.
I don't think there is anything where herbal medicine should be avoided. I think we have to look at what we want to do, and even if someone is on medication, we can always use the herbs to support the body, to strengthen the systems.
Yeah.
And at the same time, we always have to look at diet as well. If people are going to fast food restaurants
yeah.
and
or eating a bunch of donuts.
Yeah, donuts and drinking pop. And to
yeah.
me, Roy, I would like to say that there's no such thing as health foods. If food does not nourish your body in the sense that it allows it to regenerate healthy cells, it should not be called food. And
no.
in that sense, most of what's sold in the grocery stores today doesn't classify as food under my definition.
No, we're in restaurants, unfortunately, where they treat them for taste mostly rather than
yeah, and it's engineered food, chemically engineered
yeah.
food, oftentimes that has nothing to do with nourishing the body. And if we want a healthy body, we need to have a balance between our physical activity, our diet, our emotional well-being, our spiritual well-being.
Yeah.
All of these components come into
yeah.
the totality of health.
Well, how are herbs most commonly being taken? Do most people eat them or drink them? What are the most common ways that you take herbs into your system?
Well, a lot of people now start using green drinks, green smoothies, and so
yeah.
they take a lot of herbs in that way. But
yeah.
otherwise, I would say most common preparations are either in form of a tea, but even that for some people seems to be too inconvenient, or they don't like the flavor, so they prefer to go to capsules, and there are also liquid extracts called tinctures.
I guess people also externally apply them as creams and lotions sometimes, don't they?
Yeah, you can apply herbs to be absorbed through the skin, and this is why I mentioned the foot bath, which
yeah.
is one of the better ways to absorb them through the skin.
Yeah. Well, your promo states that many herbs and natural ingredients are right in your kitchen and backyard, and you can use them to create real medicine. Can you give us a few examples of some common herbs we could readily grow in a garden or purchase in a store, you know, something we could get at pretty quickly or easily?
Okay, well, let's start out with garlic. Garlic, raw garlic, is one of my favorites, and sometimes they say that there's one herb for everyone. I don't believe it because anybody can have a reaction to something. But garlic definitely is one of those magic herbs that you can use for so many different ailments. You can use it as a preventative. You can use it if you have a bacterial or viral infection. I like to, when I have something coming up, I chop up a clove fine at night, and after supper I will just swallow it. And it's good for if you have dental problems. You can use it also as a poultice. So there are different many ways. Onions are very useful that everybody has in the kitchen. If you have children, you can make a little poultice out of it and apply that poultice to the ear to draw out ear infections, or put it on the chest for chest infections. Ginger is another one that just about everybody has in the house. It's one of your first lines of defense as a digestive anti-inflammatory for nausea. It helps to open the circulation to the hands and the feet, which is really good up here in the winter when it's cold outside. So those are the ones in the kitchen. And then outside, I use dandelion, I use chickweed, I use raspberry leaf.
We all have plenty of those. Too many of those in our yards in the spring, those dandelions.
Exactly. And we can use them for a lot of different things. And dandelion root is very good for the liver. And we have the dandelion leaf, which helps to increase the urine output as a diuretic. You can use the milky juice from the stem on warts.
Yeah. There. Well, I'll go out in my yard next spring and collect some of those.
The DVT tells you how to dry them properly, too.
Yeah, this leads naturally to the next question. You have to produce that three-hour instructional DVD set with the Mexican healer and ND Adrian DeLanda entitled Herbal Pharmacy for Everyone. Does this DVD set provide most all the information we need to get started on our own herbal medicine regimen, and what's included in that DVD?
It provides actually everything that you need to know in order to make your own herbal preparations, and we start out with harvesting, drying, and storing herbs properly. And then we go into how to make different juices, we go into making teas, tinctures, capsules, foot baths, hand baths, making flower essences. So there's a great variety of different topics there, and it teaches step by step how to prepare these preparations in your own kitchen without needing any special equipment. And it's fun, and we emphasize the importance to reconnect to nature. And it has an appendix that's like a book where everything that we teach is written in a very concise form for people as a reference material.
Oh, that's great. Where would we go to learn more about it and purchase and preview your DVD package of Herbal Pharmacy for Everyone?
People can go to the website called herbalinstructions.com.
Herbalinstructions.com,
and there's a trailer on there, and people can order it from there.
Okay, well, that would be a great place to go. And in conclusion, for most of us in northern U.S. and Canada, January and February are not the most healthy and happy months of the year. Frigid winds, plunging temperatures, long nights, limited sunshine, and a susceptibility to cabin fever. But as my guest Gudrun Penselin indicates, there are a multitude of herbal medicines we can take to enhance our health, overcome chronic ailments, and brighten our spirits every day. And herbal medicine is important, but not the whole story. And in her practice, Gudrun takes a holistic approach and can introduce you to a whole host of other healing techniques. And we don't have time to get into them now, but you can learn all about them on Gudrun's websites. And she also has a website called www.rainbowhealing.ca for Canada, and that's a good website also that goes into some of those other treatments. And as we often state on this program, it's almost impossible to renew your general outlook on life at middle age while you remain mired down in an unhealthy body. lack of exercise, lack of proper nutrition. And if your body feels less than 100% great, today would be a great time to explore Gudrun's websites, preview and purchase her DVDs, and begin to cure your ills and tone up your body physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. Your whole family just may experience an active, joy-filled, and healthy lifestyle, in effect, an early spring. And thank you so much, Gudrun Bentzelin, for joining us, and best of success in spreading your healing message.
Well, thank you so much, Roy, for having me, and congratulations for doing this show for people to encourage them in their middle ages to take charge of their own well-being and realize there's lots out there for us to look forward to and that we can do to support ourselves to enjoy a happy, healthy life.
Yeah, at any age. That's
right, at any age.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Gudrun, and best of success in spreading that message.
Thank you. Same to you.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.